Scott, and thank you for sharing with us the work of Save the Mothers.
Well, thank you for your kind introduction and for your welcome. As a Presbyterian, it's nice to be welcomed. Dr. Eve Nakabembe is a Ugandan obstetrician. One night she had 8 mothers die in childbirth on her rotation. Another time she was performing a C-section and the power went out. She had to do the incision by the light of her cell phone, holding her phone in one hand and the scalpel in the other. She saved the life of the child and the life of the mother. But in frustration, Dr. Eve said something had to be done. The mothers who died in her operating theater point to some horrifying statistics. About 850 women die every single day in childbirth from entirely preventable complications. 17, as you said, die in childbirth in her country of Uganda a day alone. Here in Canada, we might have 14 a year. Now think of when the last time you heard of a mother who died in childbirth in our country. 850 a day throughout the world. Now, if a jumbo jet were to crash one day, it would be the lead item in the news cycle that evening. But maternal death of that magnitude and more happens every single day. Nobody seems to really care or know. Reducing the percentage of moms dying in childbirth is the United Nations Millennium Development Goal. It's actually number 5. We're far from reaching the target that's set for 2015. There are 3 major delays that lead to mothers dying from pregnancy complications. The first delay is the delay in the home seeking to receive care. Often in various parts in the world, it's not a mother's decision as to whether she will get care. It may be her husband who says, "We don't have the money." It may be her mother-in-law that says, "You gave birth here at home for the other 6. Why would you need to go to the hospital this time? I never went with your husband to the hospital." So there's a delay in the home. Sometimes women wait at home 3-4 days in active labor and then finally in frustration decide to go to the hospital, and then they experience the second delay, the delay in seeking transport. The bike is not available. The husband needs the bike to go to work in the field. The minivan that they want to rent to take her to the hospital is not available, and so sometimes might have to walk 4 or 5 miles in active labor to finally reach the healthcare facility. Then they experience the third delay, the delay in the availability and quality of treatment once they do reach the facility. The obstetrician, if there is one, is probably not available. The midwife might be taken with some other case. The blood that she needs for a transfusion is not available. She forgot to bring her own gloves. So there are delays. To stem the tide of maternal death, Dr. Eve was introduced to Dr. Jean Chamberlain Froese, this Canadian obstetrician who founded Save the Mothers some 8 years ago. Dr. Jean had been working in a number of areas of the world that had high incidence of maternal death, working in Yemen, Pakistan, India. And she realized, as Dr. Eve did, that there had to be something more that was done. As obstetricians, they could deliver as many babies as they could, but still, mums would die. And so Dr. Jean came up with a very innovative, unique Master's in Public Health Leadership program that is offered at Makono, Uganda, at the Ugandan Christian University. The idea is to bring people from various professions, healthcare, social work, business, media, clergy, to take this master's program and then as professionals to go out into their sphere of influence to bring about systemic change. And it's working. 8 years on, many of the graduates have gone on and are doing things to help stem the tide. I think of Sylvia Sinaboya, a Ugandan member of parliament, one of five Ugandan women who have taken the program who are members of parliament, and she has introduced legislation to include maternal health as a line item in the budget. Or think of another politician, a mayor by the name of Ivan. His region happens to be at the source of the Nile. A German company wanted to build a new dam close to the source of the Nile, and Ivan, a graduate of the program, entered into negotiations and said, if you want to build that dam, you better build me a maternity ward as well. Kathy is the second in command at the leading newspaper in Uganda called The New Vision, a journalist. And in recent days, she has written many articles talking about the numbers of Ugandans that die in childbirth each year, attempting with her pen to influence public policy. Virginia Plan is a headmaster at a middle school and elementary school, and she's founded Safe Motherhood Clubs to help children understand the issues of maternal death and maternal morbidity. In recent days, they have started, Dr. Eve and Dr. Jean, a new initiative called the Mother Friendly Hospital Initiative. If the master's program addresses the two delays trying to change societal attitudes in the home or in transportation systems, the third delay is at the hospital. And this Mother Friendly Hospital Initiative, developed by Save the Mothers with support from Uganda's Ministry of Health and the WHO office, is directly addressing this third delay using a Canadian, Ugandan obstetric and health administration expert team. We've developed a curriculum to train graduates of the Master's in Public Health Leadership at UCU to become mother-friendly advisors. And we support them. We provide them with the skills to work with the hospital administrators and staff in assessing and recommending and implementing changes, monitoring the maternal care, sometimes providing life-saving equipment, but always ensuring that the standard of care improves ever so slightly. We partnered with four hospitals in a pilot phase and will measure over this first 5-year period to see if the numbers of mums that die in those hospitals might be improved. See, the problem, it's not more doctors, and the solution is not more nurses or more medications. It's not more money, although I have to say more money wouldn't hurt. But it's the reality is that we need multiple spheres of influence of people tackling the problem. Thanks for letting me dump Duplo all over your beautiful sanctuary as an illustration that if we try and do it just as healthcare workers, the numbers will not come down. It needs business people. It needs social workers. It needs journalists, lawyers, even clergy. These two men look very, very fine in their clergy outfits this morning. In Uganda, 80% of the country is Christian. And clergy sometimes contribute to maternal death. Not Carl. Not Jim. But in their religious zeal, they may often preach and say, you women need to be strong in childbirth. It's your fault. You're dying. You need to be strong like the Hebrew women who gave birth before the midwives even arrived. But this is not a solution. So many clergy are taking the program to try to bring about systemic change. Boaz, in our Older Testament reading, a man of standing, saved the lives of two mothers, Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. When their husbands died, they were destitute. Naomi returned to her people, and Ruth, an outsider, a foreigner, came along with her. Because they were destitute, they were about to starve to death, and Naomi, fortunately, had a relative on her husband's side by the name of Boaz. The systems in ancient Israel at this time were in place to help him help them. The family systems worked. Naomi cared for Ruth. Ruth cared for Naomi. Naomi used her family connections on her husband's side to receive support. The social systems worked. Widows could glean in the fields during harvest time and obtain the food that they needed for survival. The legal and financial systems worked. Boaz went to the city gate where business was evidently conducted. He found a quorum of 10 required for a legal transaction. He negotiated with another relative of Ruth for some property, and with the purchase of the property came the opportunity to marry Ruth. He sealed the deal with an ancient custom of taking off his sandal and giving it to the other. As a result, he married Ruth and promised to take care of her. When the systems break down, when family systems break down, when business systems break down, when the social welfare system is in crisis, when the transportation systems don't work, when the legal and professional systems are in rags, as they do in many, many places in our world today, mothers die. And they die in staggering numbers. Their deaths are entirely preventable. And I'm here to say something has to be done. The cry of the psalmist, as we read in our responsive psalm, hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. That's the cry of women in our world today. They could easily be saying the same thing as the psalmist. Rise up, O Lord. Rescue me. By your hand, O Lord, save me. Boaz was a means of answering the prayer from the lips of Ruth. And by saving her life from destitution, others too were saved. Later on, if we were to read into the book of Ruth, we read that Ruth and Boaz had a child named Obed. Boaz and Ruth's son Obed had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David, the king of Israel. And through David, the king's line, eventually came Jesus of Nazareth. In our gospel reading, Jesus, the distant descendant of Ruth, the mother saved by Boaz, has upset the religious establishment. There's a plot to kill him. The high priest suggests it's better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish. And then John, the gospel writer, interprets and says, he, the high priest,
Caiaphas did not say this on his own, but as high priest prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God. And so you see the effects of saving one mother. Boaz saves Ruth. Ruth becomes the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Jesus becomes the Savior of the world. You save the mother, and you save the others. Like you, I'm moved when I see the commercials on TV asking me to give money for orphans. We should. It's part of our Christian tradition that we care for orphans. But we should also move further upstream and think about why there are so many orphans. If we save the mother, then we save the children. We'll have less orphans. Dr. Eve knows all about this. So does Dr. Jean. I called not so long ago to book a hair appointment. Well, that sounds fancy. I called to get a haircut. I called from the Save the Mother's cell phone, and while sitting in the chair, the woman cutting my hair asked the name that came up on the call display. She asked me, was it Save the Mothers, or was it Save Them Others? You see, the letters are the same. Without the spaces in between on her call display, it was easy how she could confuse Save the Mothers with Save Them Others. Yet, that's the point, isn't it? If you save the mothers, then you are going to save them others. When a child loses his mother, it's a birthright of poverty and disease. The statistics are horrendous as to what happens to a child without a mother. Boaz was a mother saver. Are you? I'm here to say thank you to your outreach committee and to Central United for choosing to make Save the Mothers part of your Lenten focus for 2013. We appreciate it so, so much. You might get involved in a number of ways. For example, you might get one of the books by Dr. Jean Chamberlain Froese that I have out there called Where Have All the Mothers Gone? She, in story form, tells what I've attempted to tell in a few minutes this morning. You might sign up for our newsletter. And the newsletter, I think, might be in your bulletin, the one from Christmas. It only comes two or three times a year. It won't overwhelm your mailbox because we're trying to keep costs down. You might sign up for the e-newsletter that comes out monthly. You might participate in our Mother's Day Steps to Deliver Change walks. Last year, for the first year, they took place in 7 cities across Canada: Montreal, East Toronto, Dundas, Wyerton, Cambridge, Bradford, West Gwillimbury, Vancouver. You know which of those cities raised the most money and had the most interest? Wyerton. Who would have thunk? Wyerton Willie and friends, and Wyerton Willie apparently was there long after his shadow had been spotted. But the purpose of these walks, the steps to deliver change, is to raise awareness, to get us as Canadians to do something in solidarity with the women in the world who die through no fault of their own, because of things that we can do so much about. So I say thank you. Boaz was a mother saver. Central United is a mother-saving church. Save the mothers, and then you save them others. Amen.
We respond to what God has said to us in and through the Word. First, with our offering, let's share in our giving now.